It's an honor and a privilege to present the priestesses doing their performance this morning. This morning to do their part, the future priests.
The great future priest, Yeshurun Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. May the peace of God be teaching any one of you. You may be seated. Now today I want to talk about purple. In the Webster's Dictionary about purple, it says, a dark bluish red crimson cloth or clothing, example an emblem of royalty or robe worn as an emblem of rank or authority. This is the original way to say purple. Pearl pale, do you see pearl in there? It's just like pale gold. If you could turn over to Hadassah 8:15. Page 410. And it says, Mordecai left the king's presence wearing royal garments of blue and white. A great headdress of gold was on his head, and he also wore a cloth of fine linen and purple, and the city of Susa rejoiced and was glad. If you could turn over to Yachnan Mark, Yachnan Mark 15, verse 16 through 18, page 7 and it says, and the soldiers led him away into their hard cart podium, and they caught together the whole company. Then they clothed him with purple, plaited a crown of thorns, and put on his head, and began to salutate him, Hail, King of the Yadayim. I want everyone. There are two beings talking to us in this song. Pastors teaching us the rank and character Yahweh wants us to be in the chorus. In the chorus it says, purple is the rank and character of Yahweh's kings and queens, the royal position of Yahweh's great kingdom yet unseen. As we reserve for a great kingdom that is yet to be, as we see our high priest Yahshua in Yahweh's prophecies. Yahweh is speaking and showing us his great plan in verse 1. In the verse 1 and bridge says, I'll make all of you into my perfect teachers in whom my greatest wisdom will always abound. You'll also be my powerful, perfect reapers of all the past nations now buried underground. A kingdom of praise I plan to make of you if you practice on my statutes and my judgments too. So remember to stay in Yahweh's house, and with that I'd like to turn it. To the next speaker, Avasura.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, today I'm going to be talking about the second commandment. Do not make yourself in the image of the gods. Now, there's many different ways that you can do this by... there's many different ways. By celebrating holidays, breaking Yahweh's laws, and then worshiping the gods, stuff like this, that turns us into being like the gods. Now, there's in the book of Yisro, on 4/6/2007, pastor, he gave a sermon, and he was talking about making yourself in the image and likeness of the gods. And he says, these images we'll later see in man's writings, because if you make yourself into the image of a god when you commit fornication, adultery, or sodomy, you're actually making yourself into an image of a god. Yahweh is against this. His image is the laws of Yahweh, the tree of life. That's an image for you. They make it out like it's an idol that you bow down to, that you whittled from a stick. That's not what it's talking about. It's making your own body into this image. They made themselves in the images of birds and creeping things, and they had relations with these things. They made themselves these images. Well, this is an image. But it's not the image of Yahweh. Now, so it shows there some of the different ways that you can make yourselves in the image and likeness of a god. But leaving the house of Yahweh and celebrating the pagan holidays, that's another one. Dressing like the people in Hollywood and doing the things that they do. Listening to worldly music and joining the military and the beastly system. Those are all ways that you can make yourself in the image and likeness of the gods. So, ways that we can make ourselves in the image and likeness of Yahweh is like coming and listening to the classes, partaking in the things that Yahweh has set up for us instead of going and worshiping gods, and but coming to his house, listening to what the priests teach us, holding it fast to all the laws and the commandments and that Yahweh's given us, and enduring until the end. This is how we can make ourselves in the image and likeness of Yahweh. Now, it's the second commandment. If you can turn over to Exodus. Exodus 20. I'll start at verse 4. It says, you shall not make for yourself any carved image, an idol, in the form of anything in the heaven above, and are on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am Yahweh your Father. I am a zealous Father, punishing the children for the law breaking of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Now, that's, if you could turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 8 says, you shall not make for yourself any carved image, an idol, any carved image in the form of, you shall not make for yourself any carved image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. So, Yahweh commands us that we shouldn't make ourselves in the image and likeness of the gods, but do things that make us in the image and likeness of Yahweh. Now, when one separates, when one doesn't follow this law, he separates himself from Yahweh, because Yahweh is not a god, and he's not going to be around people who make themselves like the gods. Part of making oneself in the image of the gods is celebrating the pagan holidays that are dedicated to the gods. He's pressured into buying lavish gifts for family and friends, and sometimes families go without food, electricity, or some other essential things that unnecessary items can be purchased. Okay, and these are some of the consequences that can occur from making yourself in the image and likeness of the gods. You'll think more about the things that actually hurt you and that won't help you. And then you put all your effort and all your money into buying and getting these things. There's many different ways, and some of the ways are fornication, adultery, uncleanness, jealousy, selfish ambitions, disagreements with quarreling and arguments, envy, drunkenness, revelries, and stuff like this. These are all ways that we can make ourselves in the image and likeness of the gods. So I encourage you to hold fast to all the laws and the statutes and the commandments of Yahweh and endure it until the end. And make ourselves in the image and likeness of Yahweh. And with that, I'll turn it over to the great Cornelia.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Today in the news, what we're looking at, continually looking at prophecy being fulfilled and this warning that's going out, remember, by a seventh trumpet that's sounding, and remember King David said, blessed are those who understand the sound of the trumpet. And Isaiah said that this earth was going to mourn and fade away, the earth, the world, and the haughty people of it. Well, what we see in the news today are viruses. Today, that's what we're going to focus on, viruses, diseases, and we're going to see how the doctors that are telling the people how to stay safe, they're not teaching them how to stay safe. They're trying to show them how to put a Band-Aid on, and before it's over with, you're going to see how the Band-Aid itself is killing them. So at this time, if we could go ahead and play the news. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I love all of you. This is Yahweh's feast. This is going to be the best feast ever. I want you to be thinking how anxious that Yahweh is right now to see all of his people cheering and having joy. He's here, you know. His eyes and heart is here, Yahweh said. I know you've got the bad news. The world is full of it right now, and full of sickness and disease, and Satan and her workers are everywhere. I laid the latest stats on my desk, but I brought the ones from October 3. The new ones was only put out today, but the new press release, but it's already up to over 11,000. Last week, praise Yahweh, Last week, Yisrael Hawkins blessed California's coal love. If you remember the hatred they showed against the people that they call Mexicans or Spanish or wetbacks. I'm familiar with all those. I'm a Okie, remember? There's some glorious names I've been called that I'm taking into the kingdom with me. But that newspaper article reached 81,675 people so far. Yes. The one before that, the Creator has a foolproof plan to bring peace to the heavens as well as the earth. That one's up to 82,000 news medias ran that. Right. The one before that, Michael Brown's scenario will continue. That is 78,449. So we're reaching out there, and they're begging for our articles, asking for them. The purple is the young priest-to-be brought out about the song. That is beautiful, and I do want you to learn that song, but I want you to study the song. Yahweh has put a lot of meaning into that song for you. That's for you, that song. You're the purple people. And that name, originally, it was purpure, it was the original pronunciation of that word. Your Yahweh's plan, that's Yahweh's plan from the beginning to bring you forth. Bring you forth, and he says it over and over throughout the scriptures. I hope to cover several of those this feast, several of those scriptures. And this is the plan, of course, that Satan has tried to block from the beginning with her deceptions and lies and murder. But Yahweh and his way is easy to distinguish from Satan's way. Now, the Pope is trying right now because he's getting a lot of flack because of the truth. But to be turning over to Genesis 17, and we'll catch this scripture there. But look at Genesis 1:26 first, and you see Yahweh's plan here from the beginning. He says, "Then Yahweh said, I will make man in my image, according to my likeness, and they will have rulership." And verse 27 plainly says, "And Yahweh made man in his image." Yahweh, not the gods. They first started the deception there. You know, he said to the other gods, "Let's make man in our image," which is simply not true. And if you just look at it, and even in the King James Version, you will see that there was one that was making man in his image, after his likeness. And verse 27 plainly shows it. That was one of the first things I think I discovered, or Yahweh showed me, in the King James Version. And of course, if you study even the King James Version, you'll see that there was one being that was making man in his image. Now, if you look over to chapter 17, Yahweh, of course, gave Adam the perfect way. And of course, Adam wrote down everything that Yahweh gave him. You can prove that if you'll just think. You know, Satan tried to screw that up, too. She makes out like that Moses wrote that. This was just some things that Moses wrote. And I said, this is, even in college, in talking to the teachers, I was mostly arguing with them. I didn't know how to talk at that time. Still don't know too well how when people start trying to deceive. But I said, this is ridiculous. I said, you're saying that Moshe wrote this. Now, Adam was put in charge of naming all the animals. So you're trying to tell me that this was handed down by mouth to Moshe and he remembered all the names of these animals here? Well, what do we call this black thing with 4 feet and teeth that stick down like this that's trying to kill all the animals? Cow? Was it cow? You see the stupidity in this? They wrote as they witnessed. And that is what the scripture says. Each one wrote as he witnessed. Adam gave it to Abel. Abel was still teaching the people, even today, the things that he wrote. Even today, they still asked at Abel from the things that that man wrote for us. He was a writer. The pen is mightier than the sword. In chapter 17 of Genesis, he says, verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, Yahweh appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Yahweh, walk in my ways and be perfect. Now, this is what he was saying to Abraham at that time, who followed Yahweh's way. And how do you become perfect? How do you become purple? That's what pure is, purple, pure. It means pure, pure in rank, pure in character. And this is what Yahweh brought forth in this song, of course. And it belongs only to Yahweh. It doesn't belong to anyone else. And only He can bring you to this purple position by being in unity, of course. This is brought by unity. And of course, this is how you bring peace. They write me letters and they say, you know, I hear you bragging about going to bring peace to the earth. How would you bring peace between the nations? Find laws, righteous laws, that nations can live with and honor one another with these laws, and you will bring them to peace. Now, the only perfect laws on earth and in heaven is these laws that we have before us right now, 613 laws. And the Pope is condemning them now. And what he says, the way he says it, he uses a lot of psychology to try to make out like there's a different way, but he's condemning the whole Bible. He first said, you know, follow the Gospels. And he says the Gospel is the Gospel. Well, now he's saying it's all just written by man. I intend to cover his letter, hopefully before this feast is out. But yeah, he's saying, oh, all these this 613 laws, and he names it 613. This is all written by man. Yes, they were. Men that was inspired to do so by Yahweh himself. But not only that, he actually gave a copy of them, a physical copy of them, to Moshe twice. Twice he did it. Well, anyway, this right here, he shows that Yahweh's way is perfect. Walk in His way and be perfect. Now, the Pope, of course, is saying, well, these laws are just, let's turn over to 2 Samuel. They were just man-written laws, and said, would you rather have God's salvation where without having to follow any rules and regulations? Well, see, there is no salvation there. There's no salvation at all. The gods can't give you life. They're powerless. And this is what Yahweh showed when He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. They're powerless. They have no power that have stopped Him from bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. He showed His power over the gods. How many times does He have to show it? Well, millions of times to the people who don't have a brain to think with, you know, or who has ruined their mind with sodomy. That's the first thing that starts ruining a person's mind in the Vatican, seems like, is the sodomy. And it doesn't stop with two people. Once sodomy is committed, it spreads. It gets into your food. It gets into every action of your life and starts bringing you down, like eating pork, eating swine. It doesn't stop with you. You ate it, yes, but you become a bondable, which means you can pass it on to other people. Not the trichna, but the results of the trichna. It's a never-ending process. The thing that you start with sin, or that you become a part of, it don't stop with your sin. It just keeps spreading and spreading, like gangrene spreading throughout the earth. Now our earth is defiled, our heavens are defiled, and the Pope says he's going to give us salvation through the gods. Well, that's the big lie that Satan started in the first place, remember? Be like the gods. Practice evil. It's really desirable to practice sodomy, right? It's really desirable to rape children, right, Francis? Oh, man, I hope you don't fool too many people with those lying, hypocritical words. Well, in 2 Samuel chapter 22, let's look at verse 31. Now here is, this is King David, and written, copied by Samuel, the priest, or taken from David and put in this book. But he says here in verse 31, everybody got that? 2 Samuel 22, 31. Yahweh, his way is perfect. Well, you don't get any better than that. His way is purple. And he's saying to us, you have become this. You have become this by practicing my laws. Keep my laws and be perfect. Practice my laws and you will be accounted as perfect. That's what 1 John 3:7 and 8 said. He who practices the laws of Yahweh is perfect, is righteous. Well, he says to Samuel the same thing. His way is perfect. And Samuel took this and wrote it. He was the priest over King David. King David wrote this as a song. And it was sang many, many times. I think we have it put to music too. Yahweh, his way is perfect. The law of Yahweh is without flaw. Now, to that the Pope says, if you remember what Yeshua said quickly, Luke 24, verse 25, you're a fool if you don't believe what these prophets have spoken for you. Well, the Pope says, oh, these laws were just written by men. And he calls 613 laws were just written by man. Yeah, that's like Adam repeated to Abel the names of all the animals that roamed the earth and all the creeping things that roamed the earth. And Abel remembered all of that and told it to Moshe, who wrote it down from what Abel said. Try writing something. Try giving a message like that, or even lesser than that, to somebody and tell them to write it down, repeat it to somebody, and let them repeat it to somebody else. You'll see how stupid that can be. But this is what he's bringing across to the people. These laws were given by Yahweh, and people who didn't even know these, the first person, wrote down these laws again. And people who didn't know them wrote them again and said, you must keep these to be perfect. And Yahshua too said, you must be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. And the way he said it, keep his laws. If you want to be perfect, keep the laws of Yahweh. That's Matthew 17:19 or 19:17, one of the two. Well, he says here, the laws, his way, Yahweh, his way is perfect. The laws of Yahweh are without flaw. He is a shield to those who take refuge and trust in him. if you remember 1 Samuel 7, 1 Samuel 7, he was the judge of Israel. He roamed Israel and made a complete circuit in a full year and back to his own place in a full year. Samuel taught the laws and the judgments and the statutes wherever he went. He kept peace. But then those who would get away from Yahweh, they would go into war. And of course, the ark would be taken, everything be taken away from the house because they were practicing sin. So they come to Samuel, who they knew was with Yahweh, and Yahweh was with him. And they said, please save us from these people. We can't fight these people. They're too strong. Samuel said, sure, put away Christianity from you, and I will show you that Yahweh will protect you again. So he showed them again. This is all in 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter. The keeping of Christmas, of Easter, and so forth. And Satan deceiving the tribes of Israel behind Samuel's back, of course. This is before they openly defied Yahweh. In the next 100 years. And Samuel said, sure, put these away. So they did. And Samuel called upon Yahweh to come in and fight their battles again. And he did. And they ran like rabbits. They had no power at all against Yahweh. And this is the trust that he wants you to have in this last days. Just believe what he says and trust in it. Well, this is what we see in this song here, written by David, who, if you remember, his life was threatened for many, many years. And they were seeking to kill him for many, many years. This is not an easy situation when they come at you and you know they're wanting to kill you and people try to poison you. Or to put you in a prison and let you die, or so forth. It's not an easy thing to face. And this was what King David was facing when he actually wrote this song to Yahweh. He says, he is a shield to all those who take refuge in him and trust in him. Remember Psalms 91? And, of course, Colossians 2. Where it says, those who practice keeping the feast, don't let anyone take that away from you, or you take away Yahweh's protection. And remember that in these last days. Keep your appointments with Yahweh. Verse 32, for who is the Father besides Yahweh? And who is a rock except our Father? It is Yahweh who is my strong refuge, and he makes my way perfect. And he did. He made David's way perfect. Look back up to verse 24. I have been blameless in front of him and have kept myself from sin. He's practiced righteousness, kept himself from sin. That means he had to practice righteousness. Verse 25, Yahweh has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my righteousness. The Pope, on the one hand, was asked about prayer for peace. Well, they couldn't pray in Jerusalem because that would bring hatred from the Palestinians. They couldn't go to the Palestinian side because that would bring hatred from the people they call Jews in Israel. So, between a rock and a hard place, you know, the rock, the wall, rock wall. He's supposed to pray to the rock wall. Well, he had already prayed to the rock wall. He said, this is almost like praying to a rock wall. And Benedict said, I think the Lord is asleep. I don't think he's answering prayers anymore. So the Pope said, well, why don't y'all come to the Vatican? Come to the Seven Hills where the mother sits. I'm adding a little bit there, but that's what he said. Come to Rome. We'll pray in Rome where we won't be distracted. So they asked him later, was your prayers answered? Now, he said a few, like 100 words, using psychology and everything, but then he finally slipped and says, I think it must be accompanied by merit. I know you didn't understand that, but but the word merit, it means it must be earned. It must be earned. Now, on the same process and talking about the 613 laws, that doesn't need merit. You see how he twists up himself? I'll read this to you from his own letters later. I got all of them. I'm really paying close attention to what this man says, because remember, I'm the one that opposes Babylon. Remember that? I was prophesied to do so, and I started doing it before I even knew that I was prophesied to do so. So I was being led. Like Yahweh says, choose elders who are elders in deeds. They're already doing the work of elders or priest before they become a priest. They're already priest in deeds. And that's what he said to Moshe and to Aaron. Well, 25, Yahweh has rewarded me according to my righteousness. Yes, by merit I inherit the laws of Yahweh. That's what Yahshua said. Blessed are those who by merit inherit the kingdom of righteousness. Blessed are those who keep his laws. Remember Revelations 22 verses 12 through 14. By righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands in his eyes. Go on back further here. Go back to chapter 22 and notice verse 3. Yahweh is my rock. He is, in him will I trust. If you cross that my out and put R, Yahweh is our rock. In him will we trust. He is our shield. And the horn, that horn means the strength, that is strength. You've got to put all this together to understand this. The horn is the spokesman, the one sent. By this we hear the trumpet, the trumpeter, same thing. But here they translated it horn. It means the strength that comes forth from the teaching, Malachi 4, and Yahshua re-said this same thing. If you will accept it, this is the Eliyah which was to come. Malachi 4, is the strength of Yahweh, the Eliyah, the strength of Yahweh. The horn, the strength of our salvation. There is no salvation anywhere else. Be like the gods and be evil, but that won't bring you salvation, Francis. The only thing that's going to bring you salvation is merit, just like you said. You got to merit peace or it won't come. And the only way you can do that is find laws that are right for both sides and practice those laws, and that will bring you peace. That's the only way to be. You can't be at peace with a man that's wanting to rape your children. You can't be at peace with a man that's wanting to seduce your wife or your daughters. Are you crazy, Francis? How can you be at peace with somebody that's wanting to rape your child? Are you so ignorant you can't understand that? These laws weren't written by man. They were written by man, but they were inspired by Yahweh. They're perfect laws. Find two people that will agree with those perfect laws, and you got perfect peace between them. Find two nations that will agree with those perfect laws, and you got perfect peace between those nations. The United States right now could issue enough money to put the peaceful solution in action among all nations, and peace would quickly come. They won't do it because the Catholic Church is guiding them and saying, these laws are trash, go God's way. Practice evil. The same thing that Satan said in Genesis 3, verse 5. Well, here, King David said, Yahweh is our rock, he's our horn, our strength, he's our salvation, our stronghold, he is our refuge. Speaking now, speaking not of a hole in the ground to hide, but a refuge, something to protect us. He'll protect you if you merit it. How do you do it? By keeping your appointments with Yahweh. Yes, at his house. That's what Colossians said. Don't let anyone deprive you of these feast days now. Don't let them take away your crown. Don't let them take away your strength. You see that? He's your strength, your refuge, your stronghold. It's him, Yahweh. Nothing else. That's it. He's the one that guided you here, but he set the circumstances millions of years ago, or thousands of years ago, to guide you to his house. Yes, that's the great wisdom that Yahweh has. And we have refused it. The whole world refused this great wisdom. One of the greatest things that a person can do, we can't do it yet, except through what Yahweh has already given us. We don't have that power. But Yahweh can actually foretell the future. And he can tell you from what you're doing right now, if you keep up what you're doing and practicing these laws at my house, you will have the door open to the kingdom of Yahweh. You save me from violent men. Violent men, remember Revelations, I think it's 11:12. Yeshua said they took over the kingdom. They took over the kingdom of Yahweh. That's the reason they ruled the temple. That was the kingdom of Yahweh set up under Moshe. They by violence, not by righteousness, but by violence, and that's the reason they persecuted the prophets. The prophets was teaching the laws of Yahweh, and of course the people were looking at those laws, and they're saying, well, you're not keeping the laws here. You're a priest. You're supposed to be keeping the laws. And Yeshua said to his disciples, when they're in Moshe's seat, do what they say, because they're reading the laws of Yahweh. But when they don't follow their example, he said, because they preach the laws of Yahweh, but they don't practice the laws of Yahweh. None of them practice the laws of Yahweh. So they're not of Yahweh, and they don't have salvation. None. They won't come to him that he might save them. He says, you won't come to me that you might have salvation. The only way that they could have salvation is follow the things that Yeshua said. Well, what does he say? Keep the commandments of Yahweh. Keep the laws of Yahweh. Well, verse 4 says, I call to Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised. He only, get that? He only, you should write the word only there. He only is worthy of praise, worthy to be praised. The gods are not worthy to be praised. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they're evil, all of them. Unless they repented before I said that. And I am saved from my enemies. In advance, far in advance, the waves of death compass me. If you think of this, this man was running for his life a lot of the times, but he was still serving Yahweh, protecting those who wanted to follow Yahweh. David was protecting them in his activities, and at the same time, fleeing for his life, fleeing from from the one who was trying to kill him that he was also trying to protect. Yes, David was actually trying to protect Saul and still trying to preach to him and tell him, you know, Saul, I'm your friend. I'm not your enemy. Why have you got it in, set in your head that I'm your enemy? Why do you want to hate me right now? Why do you not want to listen to what I say? Well, Yahweh is worthy of praise, not the gods. For the last scripture there in that verse, turn over to and look at verse 27. 22 verse 7. You see that? Isn't that beautiful, the third word? I'm not going to read it. You turn, read it for yourself. Follow me in these scriptures. Read it. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 22, verse 27. Look at that third word. Isn't that beautiful? You show yourself to us. Yahweh shows himself to us in his laws. He's the most perfect being in the earth. That's what Yahshua said. He said, talk about perfection. Yahweh is perfection. He's the most perfect being in the universe. Pure. Purple. And that's what he brought to his house. For those who don't know it, I was writing, as I do most of my time now. I hate it when the phone rings sometimes, but I hate it when I have to eat. That's the reason I've lost a lot of weight. I hate to get up and eat. But I was riding and I looked up and here was a four color. I called it a rainbow, but it wasn't actually a rainbow. It was four colors and it was over the sanctuary. And it was at an angle, and from where I was sitting, which was west of here, if you can imagine this right here, if I turned west, you could see this right here on my shoulder. Well, all I saw was that sash, and it looked like probably 30 feet tall, went up into a cloud and stopped right there. It wasn't a bow, it was just straight. And I called our great deacon, Stefania Rutowski, and he and his wife went out and took pictures and of it. And he called me back later after he had studied the pictures for a while. And he said, that comes up to your left shoulder. And he said, color, it stops at your left shoulder, like it went over your shoulder and stopped. But he says, your picture is there, and this is coming up to your left shoulder and stopping right there, and your face is clearly seen above it in the cloud. So I was seen, praise Yahweh, and they have pictures. I think they're going to show those during the feast here. Later on, you know, while we were still pondering this and what it meant, someone called me. I was upstairs writing, and they disturbed me again with the phone, as Yahweh said they would in these last days, and I'm very pleased with it. Don't get me wrong. sometimes I can't keep up. I did one call yesterday in working out this problem, which took about 30 minutes. I was 27 calls behind in 30 minutes. So that's how fast this is coming in, which I praise Yahweh for it. But later I was on a Sabbath, and someone called me and said, look out the window. There's a double rainbow. Well, I just turned my head and there it was. I was facing the east and I turned and looked out the window and there it was right in front of me, a double rainbow. So I called Rutowski again. And they took the pictures, and he said, this rainbow, it's very peculiar. It starts at the sanctuary. It goes all the way over to the studio where the prophetic word is going out daily. And he said, over that studio is a bubble, like a raindrop, but he says it's gold. And it come all the way from the sanctuary and all the way over to that house, and he said it's sitting right on top of the house. Right on top of it. Well, of course, we're told to watch the heavens in this time period because Yahweh and Yahshua are going to be talking to us through and showing us many things. Well, when I saw that, I said, and they told me what it was, I said, well, Yahweh is trying to tell us something here. So definitely he wants us to wear this or I wouldn't have it on my chest. Well, of course, me and the house of Yahweh is all one. So what I wear, every member wears. And that's the way I always want it to be. Unity throughout the eternity. Unity for eternity. That sounds like a song, doesn't it, Michael? Unity for eternity. Where were we? Oh, yeah, back to verse 27. And here we are, purple means originally pure. And here we have the word. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the devious, you show yourself shrewd. Well, of course, to the pure, they're loving Yahweh's laws, you are. To Pope Francis, he sees Yahweh in a different way. And of course, he doesn't want authority over him. And he's trying to teach this rebellion to the whole world. In fact, he has taught it to the whole world. Let's go over to Psalms. Psalms 19. But he is rebellious. And this is what his forefathers showed to Samuel in 2 Samuel 8. And Yahweh said to Samuel, they've been that way ever since I brought them out of the land of Egypt. It's not you they're rejecting, it's me they're rejecting. So here is David in the book of Samuel, that his love for Yahweh is tremendous. His love for Yahweh's law is tremendous. And he brags on it continually, and he sings about it, and so forth. Well, but to Pope Francis, it's like he thinks it's some kind of rod that you beat people with. That's his attitude about the laws of Yahweh, the 613 laws. But if he would see it the way that the beauty in it, the way we see it, we see the law that says don't steal as that protecting your neighbor and his possessions. A person shouldn't have to come back home and find things stolen out of their front yard or out of their house or whatever, things that they'd worked for, and here comes a thief and steals it. They shouldn't have to worry about putting their children in school and having them come home and too ashamed to talk about rape that took place in their school by a priest of the Catholic Church. They shouldn't have to do that. This is stealing a man's dignity, and the people, they suffer from it the rest of their life. I look at that law as something most beautiful, that a person can trust others to protect his property, to not bother his property. I look at it in this way. Why can't the Pope see that? Why does the Pope support sodomy in the first place? Why won't he condemn sodomy? If he did, he'd condemn the gods of evil whom he worships. And he doesn't condemn the gods, the evil gods. He follows these evil gods, as Genesis 3:5 showed. Do what the God says. You'll be like the gods. Do evil like the gods. That's what Satan was saying to Pope Francis there. And he fell for it. He fell for this deception. That's the reason we have wars all over the world right now. But not only that, brethren, we have sickness and disease all over the world for the same reason. I look at the laws that protect your health, like laws against fornication, adultery, bestiality, sodomy. I look at those laws as something that I want to teach my children, which is you, every one of you. I want to teach it every day to you. When you rise up, there's no way that you could keep up with me right now. When you rise up, if you had this on your table by the side of your plate, you could read a little bit of this of a morning. You could read it when you're walking by the way. Have your wife read it when she's in the car riding with you. You know, you could follow that law. Teach it diligently to your children. I've made that possible for you. I've made it possible in tapes and songs and the written word, the written books. That law can be kept right now by you, my children. Well, here in Psalms 19 now, we see verse 7 says, the laws of Yahweh are perfect, converting the whole person. But you've got to teach those laws. You've got to teach them diligently to your children and your wife. You're supposed to teach them to your wife. That's what Ephesians 5 shows. And the two of you are supposed to grow together with those laws. It's only when one grows and the other one doesn't that there is trouble. Trouble will arise. Yes. Well, the laws of Yahweh are perfect. Satan says, or Francis says, follow evil. That's more desirable. Those laws were just written by men. Here's perfect laws. Well, even if they were written by man, it's still a perfect law. But they were inspired by Yahweh, the scripture says, for that person to write. Holy men that followed the laws of righteousness, Yahweh knew them, as we just read in Samuel. Yahweh revealed himself to them, and they were able to write these laws. Perfect law. Here was another man over here 500 years later, didn't even know this man, but he wrote the same thing. How could that possibly be without inspiration? Put two and two together in the scriptures, and you'll see this. Start studying your scripture. If you turn over to Yeshua's writings, now, say Satan, that is... Francis, be turning over to Matthew 5. He has moved, as he says, Jesus. Now get this, boys. He has moved Jesus out of his place. He had him, you know, God the Father, God the Son, and God the unholy spirit that raped Mary. That's the Trinity that they worship. He's moved Jesus, who was God the Son, he said, out of his place and replaced him with Mary. And he said, when asked about it, he said, well, there wouldn't even be a Jesus if it wasn't for Mary and the mother church. So you got to be loyal to Mary and the mother, which is church. Mother church. Now that's the thing you have to be loyal to. Well, Pope, we don't want these restrictions put on us. We want democracy. Here you're trying to put a restriction on us. What restriction? Well, you want us to be loyal to Jesus. I mean, to Mary over Jesus. You see the questions he's getting. They're not great. See, it's not great the position he's put in. And he's like the world. Where is our peace? Well, you know, it's got to be earned. Well, why aren't you earning it, Pope? Why are you so forked-tongued? This is what the Indians called it. When they was making all these treaties, they would make treaties with the so-called Indians in Oklahoma. And they said, the Indians said they speak with a forked tongue. They tell you one thing, they give you a paper that you can't read, they read it to you telling you what it said, then you find out later, your children do, that it didn't say what you said it said. Well, why did you sign it? Because you read it to me. You said it said this. Well, they speak with a forked tongue, see? The Pope is promising peace. He, for 6,000 years, he and Satan and his ancestors, of course, have brought nothing but wars, continual war. He's still doing the same thing. Don't keep the laws, they're man-made, but follow Mary, and Mary is going to make war. This is what Malachi Martin said. Follow Mary. This is their beloved Mary that Malachi Martin said the Catholic Church is going to make war against all of these people who won't submit to following her way. The people who are trying to follow a little bit of righteousness, they're not the house of Yahweh, so they don't have Yahweh's way. He doesn't reveal himself to them at all. But they remember these things, some of the things that they remember in the Holy Scriptures. And even the Muslims and people like this that have their own book that they follow, they still believe those prophets. It's taught to them in their Bible, so to speak, to believe those prophets. And they're trying to practice certain things. The Pope doesn't want them to do this because he says it puts restrictions on a person. And a person shouldn't be restricted. Then he turns right around and says, now you've got to be loyal to Mary, who is making war. But they say, but you've already said never war. He said, well, under certain circumstances, it's got to be justified. We've got to stop this enemy. Well, who is their enemy? Someone who is out there trying to practice holiness of some kind. And she doesn't care what kind of holiness it is. She just doesn't want holiness, period. She wants the whole world to be evil like the gods, never practicing any form of holiness. And that's what the scripture said. She's coming against all forms of holiness. The Savior said, the Savior, not Jesus, they know that that name Yeshua was replaced. They're the ones that replaced it, and he holds up for that. We got it in their own writing. The catechisms of the Catholic Church plainly shows it. Unger's Bible Dictionary said that the word Lord is not a divine title and should have never been used to replace the Creator's name, which means it was used to replace the Creator's name. It also shows that it was used for rabbis. So when you worship these lords, well, you're worshiping rabbis. There's plenty gods and plenty lords, but they have no power. They can't answer your prayers. They don't know how to bring peace. They know not the way to peace. What's the use of praying for peace if you won't follow the way to peace? You can't have peace and still break these laws. There's no way you can have peace and break one of these laws. No way you can have health and break one of these laws. It starts the ball rolling that covers the crowd, that covers the earth, that covers the air. In Matthew 5 and verse 48 is what I have written down here. Matthew 5 and verse 48. Here's the Savior's words. Therefore, become perfect, become purple, pure, purple, perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. As your Father in heaven is perfect, that's how you've got to be. That's how you've got to become. Look on over to 1 John 3:4, and he shows us here who belongs to Satan, which Pope Francis definitely belongs to Satan, and here's the words that show that he does. 1 John 3, found on page 965, If the people would just read their scriptures and start believing, Yahweh would actually reveal himself to them. Anyone who will do this, anyone who will start keeping the appointments at the house of Yahweh, that's what Yahweh says, that's what Yahshua said. Seek first the kingdom. This is the kingdom right here, the house of Yahweh. In the last days, I will establish my house. This is the last days. His house is established. That's a fact. You don't have to go hunting for it. He said, I'm going to establish it in the chief of the nations. The chief of the nations has been the United States all along. The chief of the nations. In this generation, it's the chief of the chiefs. Everywhere. 3 and verse 4. Whosoever commits sin transgresses the law. There's where the Pope stands right there. He commits sin. He practices sin. He teaches sin. And he won't condemn the priest or tell them to stop. He won't try to correct them. Who am I to correct these priests that are raping your boys, raping your girls? Who am I to stop this? Well, you're Pope. You're supposed to be the leader of your flock, your cardinals, who's doing these things. He doesn't even know why he should now. He's elected Pope. Why am I Pope anyway? That's what I'm wondering too. For sin is the transgression of the law. Verse 7 says, little children, don't let Pope Francis deceive you. Little children, don't let Pope Francis deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. He who practices purple is pure. Yes. But verse 8, he who commits sin, which is the whole Catholic Church, they don't practice Yahweh's law. They belong to Satan the devil. There's the scripture that proves it. Every translation says this same thing. Even the Diglot says it. You belong to Satan the devil. Verse 10 shows you. This is what makes the distinguishing difference. Those who practice righteousness belong to Yahweh. There's a difference in them and the gods. Want to be like the gods? He says, which would you rather get your salvation from? From one who has 613 laws that you must follow? Or a God that will just give it to you freely? They can't give you salvation, Pope. They have no power to give you salvation. Just because you said they would, you can't even get peace. You prayed for peace. You prayed for rain. Is your prayer being answered to that? No, but you still expect it to be salvation proof? You expect that to be true and all this other false? You're not getting your prayers answered. What makes you think you'll get salvation when you die? What makes you think you'll go to heaven when you die? The scripture says you won't. I'm betting you won't. The scripture says you won't. The dust you are and the dust you're going to return. And with you, unless you repent now, you'll never live again once you die. Because there'll be no branch nor root left that could ever be counted or put back together with you as a person. If you don't repent and turn to Yahweh, your sentence is already set. It's not going to be changed. No judgment in the scripture is going to be changed. No statutes. They're perfect. Why would anyone want to change it? Why would you want to change a law that says don't steal? You want somebody to come steal your stuff? Why would you want to change a law that says don't commit adultery? You want somebody to come rape your wife? You want somebody to come rape your sons? Look at these laws and you'll see the beauty in them. I've got here this beautiful book. It's purple. And I don't have to brag on it because y'all are bragging on it all over right now, I know. And the song, the purple song, you're bragging on that too. If this was gold, you know, the world would run after it. And it is gold. It's better than gold. It's better than silver. The words in this book are life eternal. And we've got it in this this beautiful program now. Oh boy, it's purple too. As the great deaconess at Kohana, Rebecca, I don't know if you've seen her, the way she brags on this in the scriptures, but she does a great job of bringing forth these books and this program, and where you got just in an instance, you can just find anything you want, any subject. This is what the Pope needs. This is what the Catholic Church needs. Is this where he could just mash a button and find any subject in there? Praise Yahweh. Well, may Yahweh bless you, and we're going to have the best feast ever. At the end of the feast, we're going to have a beautiful meal, Yahweh willing, and we're going to be taking more pictures now. So be your best. Things will be changed a little. You'll be told about it as we proceed along. Don't miss tomorrow morning service. I'm going to continue on where we stopped here today, continue further into this. Every place that Yahweh shows what the world is doing throughout the scriptures, you can stand up if you want to. Every place where he shows what the world is doing, what the Catholic Church is doing right now in bringing forth evil, he shows the work. He shows his work that's going to bring forth in these last days, in this generation. He shows that, and I want you to see it. It's a beautiful thing what he showed in this time period right here. Starting with Genesis now, he started talking about you, the purple people. In Genesis, yes, in Genesis. and he started talking about me in Genesis. 49, he shows you that. Then throughout these scriptures, where he's showing how the Catholic Church is going wrong, Satan is leading the world wrong, he'd say, but in the last days now, I'm going to do this. I'm going to bring this forth. And then in Daniel 9, he says, this is going to be the pattern in the years taken right here. It's just going to, that I've set aside to do this very thing. It's all planned out. It's a perfect plan, as one of these newspapers article, a foolproof plan to bring peace to the earth and the universe. And at a certain time, he doesn't promise you peace right now. He doesn't promise you rain right now either. So, but he has promised to protect you. And he will do so. Put your trust in him. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.